106 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this kind of Super Wednesday. As we're checking out results from yesterday and last night. Checking in with our buddy Jeff Poor, who did the same thing, coverage till late in the evening of Super Tuesday. It was Jeff Sessions last night, and his speech, he had a few things to say about, well, about what happens in a general and Doug Jones. But before that, he made sure to thank Bradley Byrne.
And I want to congratulate every candidate for running, for having the courage to step into the arena. I'd like to thank my old friend, Bradley Byrne. He fought a good fight, he ran a good race, and he's done a lot of good for our state as my congressman. So we are adversaries in this campaign, but I look forward to working with him in the future. I have some terrible news for Bernie Sanders, Joe Biden, and Chuck Schumer. Doug Jones's brief visit in the United States Senate is just about over.
All right, let's get the take from Jeff Poor from the Jeff Poor Show on WVNN. Of course, read his work in Lanyap, Yellowhammer News, Breitbart News as well. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Sean. Thanks for having me on.
It's a pleasure, and it's not only a thing I like to do, it's a necessity on a day like today as we take a look at what happened in Super Tuesday overall, but specifically back here in Alabama. I guess let's go to the low-hanging fruit and the easier things first. Amendment 1. Not only got shot down, I mean got shot down.
It got shot down, and I got to be honest, I wasn't really thrilled with the way the governor's office handled it in their statement. So, you know, it was not a surprise it went down, but if the state of Alabama wants to do something with education, whatever that might be, I think it's pretty clear it's got to be done with a democratic process in place.
Okay. So, was that any kind of referendum on Ivy, or was it just really specific to the constitutional amendment?
It showed Ivy doesn't have much sway when it comes to the voters. You know, she pushed and pushed and pushed, and I know they spent a bunch of money promoting Amendment 1, voting yes on it, and with that, you know, there just wasn't, even with all of that, it didn't change anything. In some ways, it may even have made it worse.
The response from the governor's office last night, once Amendment 1 was voted down, it reminded me, Jeff, of the response from the governor's office after the toll bridge went down. And I don't know if I'm reading into it too far, but it seemed kind of like bitterness in the response itself.
Well, there's probably a reason that Governor Ivey won't be on the Jeff Poor Show anytime soon. I think she is petty. I think that whole office is petty, thin-skinned. They don't roll with the punches real well. They win elections. That's all you really need to do. But they kept an enemies list after the gas tax vote, if you recall. When she got the tape with the blackface thing came out, they had two separate mailing lists. Members that didn't vote for the gas tax got left off of the heads up, hey, this is about to come list. And I think she's going to be petty, or that office. I don't know about her in particular, but at least that office and that administration is going to be very, belligerent in some ways toward the voters.
Now, of course, she did get the much-coveted Trump delegate place one vote. But I tell you what, I said this yesterday and you and I talked about it. Ziegler didn't have to win this to make a statement. And he, in some places, came, you know, within shouting distance of the governor on that.
Yeah, but it was statewide a blowout. It's hard to beat.
I'm talking down here.
The city governor.
Yeah, I'm just talking down here.
With reason, but you don't win in just one part of the state, I guess.
All right, so let's shift here, and I do want to get your take, because you've given us a good education on AL2, and we'll talk some AL5, but right here at home, let's go AL1. No big surprise to many of us that we're looking at a runoff, but what do you think about the numbers and the close finish here?
I thought Pringle would have done a little bit better, but yeah, this one's a jump ball now. It's going to be one of the more compelling races to watch on March 31st. Not that there's a whole lot of them to watch, but I think with it being that close, you're certainly going to have a fight. And that's, I mean, it's going to impact the entire state because it's going to drive up turnout in Mobile and Baldwin counties. A, you have the competitive congressional race, but B, it's also going to, the burn voters up for grabs. So I'm just kind of getting ahead here with the Senate race. But I think that's an AL1 thing is one for everybody to keep an eye on because of that.
Okay, so this is something you and I have talked about. There's a specific and a theoretical part of this. Now, the question of what do people do in a runoff, and you've talked about this over time, that if somebody's candidate didn't win in the primary, the chances aren't great that they come back to vote for another person in the runoff, right?
Right. That they were set on that. It's like you wanted chocolate ice cream, but then you go and you find out that all they have is pistachio. Well, are you going to go to that ice cream shop, or are you just going to go down the road? You know, that's kind of the mindset there, I think. So, maybe you got to get some of those people to come back and vote.
Right.
But I don't think you've got to quite have the turnout. There's maybe not that many votes up for grabs.
Some of us just like ice cream, and we'll go back for, even if it is pistachio. But out of those people that would return, and they were Pringle voters, I've had people on the text line this morning telling me specifically that. Now, I understand this is not representative of the electorate at large, but people saying, hey, we voted for Kris Pringle, and we're going to go, in the case of these two, they're going to go vote for Jerry Carl. But that's got to be the game right now. If you're Hightower or Carl's campaign, you've got to court those Pringle folks that would return here at the end of the month.
Well, I think some of it is, look at where the Pringle voters are. Look at the precincts and, what precincts favor what. What is the region of those precincts? I would maybe not so much Mobile, some of that's baked in, but look at Baldwin County, where you don't have the that friends and neighbors effect. And look and see, kind of, I think those are the ones on the other side of the bay there are the real Pringle voters that could be swayed one way or another.
We'll see whether Bradley Byrne throws his votes behind either of the Senate candidates. But, Jeff, is there any chance he endorses someone for AL1 in this runoff?
I'd be surprised. It may not be on his radar unless somebody gets something in front of him and there's some kind of deal made. Then there's that possibility. But as of now, I wouldn't know what that is. I mean, he came out and supported Congressman Brooks,
mm-hmm.
who just crushed his opponent last night. But it would have to be something along those lines, I would think.
All right, let's talk about the Senate race here and some of the differences in numbers. This one's interesting because now we can compare local votes versus the state. Here we have a runoff between Tuberville and Sessions. And by the way, those of y'all that wondered if it would happen, I know my phone was ringing, but tweets or texts were coming in last night said, get ready for President Trump to endorse Tuberville. It hadn't gone that far this morning, but the president is weighing in on the Alabama Senate primary.
Yeah, so he mocked Jeff Sessions for not being able to get the majority, noting that his past history there. So it's already there. It's already started. I my understanding is you're going to just from hearing around different sources that we're going to see more of this.
Okay, so this is going to be obviously something that affects it. Although we've seen in the past, you've been one to say Alabamians don't like to be told what to do. I mean, you look back at the Luther Strange, Roy Moore situation, and people didn't like that.
I think that's right. But here's what I would say, and I tried to make this point a little bit on my show last night. This is an outsider's political arena right now. And I'm not saying that you've got to be... Where I think people in Alabama get it wrong, it's two things. You got to be I'm Trump rah rah rah, or you're doing the Jeff Sessions, which is I support Trump's policies, which is fine and well. There's merit to both of those.
But it's true. But
where the real energy is, where you really tap into the energy, is you play that outsider card. You're the guy that's fighting against the so-called political establishment. You're not, in cahoots with, whatever, the swamp or whatever you want to call it, the D.C. Machine or the Montgomery machine. I think that's where the energy is. And it doesn't really matter. The policy maybe not as important. And certainly just saying you're the most Trump-like is even less relevant.
Okay, I want to challenge that for a second. And this idea that I know, and a lot of people want to throw the bums out and always reset and let's get new people in Washington. But until I feel that all the other places in the country and all the other states are going to, you know, make that change in their senator. Why have somebody inexperienced in there? I mean, where we sit now is 7 congressional districts, possibly going to 6. On the House side, we have diminished, at least in the Senate, we hold our own weight, and we used to punch above our weight, you know, having Shelby and Sessions in there. And when Shelby leaves, I'm really scared. I mean, we'll have no seniority.
Well, Sean, I don't think the electorate thinks that way. I think you and I think that way. I think we understand the Washington game. The Washington game is very complicated. Seniority is not exactly what I would say merit. And people don't think that way. People think that they want somebody to be a disruptor. I mean, that is just the natural DNA of the electorate right now. That's how Donald Trump does so well in Alabama, and that's what you got to realize. People aren't. It's not so much that we think seniority would be good and longevity would be good, but that disruptor mentality that is just right now the hot thing is what you got to go toward to win an election in Alabama, I believe.
All right, let's talk some numbers here on this that I find interesting. So Tuberville, doing just fine across the state, but looking at numbers down here in our neck of the woods, Tommy Tuberville in Mobile County getting 10.8% of the vote and 12.2% in Baldwin County. Bradley Byrne getting 52% in Mobile County, I think 56 thereabouts in Baldwin County. So Tommy Tuberville, you know, people talked about it, he kind of gave up on it down here, but now it's a different story in a runoff, especially when the person he's in the runoff directly against, you know, has roots down here. I mean, how does he get that 10% up to the 30s where he is around the state, or does he just try to get his numbers up elsewhere?
I think right now, depending on how much money they raise, I don't know that they can compete in Mobile. The problem with competing in Mobile, it's a lot more money to compete for fewer votes. And let me explain to you, the way these media markets are drawn, to keep Mobile and Pensacola in the top 100 media markets in the country, you have a media market that goes from Destin all the way to Greene County, Mississippi.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So
that's for TV, though. That's for TV, yes.
That's where you spend the money. And if you start spending money in the Mobile media market, well, half of your money is going to the panhandle of Florida, right? You don't get the most bang for your buck. So these campaigns, statewide campaigns, are very reluctant to play really big in Mobile. Tuberville doesn't have a lot of money. Is he going to spend a bunch of money in Mobile trying to drive that number up, or just trying to go run his numbers up somewhere else? I think that is the problem. That's why Mobile gets left out of a lot of these statewide races, I believe.
Yeah, he's spent, I think, $1.4 million so far. He's not going to get through this runoff without spending nearly that much. I mean, you know, again.
Yeah, and does the money there. Now, I understand that $1 million Dr. Tuberville has set aside of his own money, now that he has made the runoff, at least $750,000 of that will be available. So can he raise another $500,000? In 3 weeks, you probably need to start raising, like, right now,
yeah,
or your last night.
Yep.
But, maybe he gets close. But how much is that really going to matter?
Being local down here for Sessions, I think his numbers that would come over from the Byrne side might be a little more elevated than elsewhere in the state. Do you have any idea of the second choice for the people that voted Byrne elsewhere in the state? Do you know who they might be more likely to back?
Well, it seems like Sessions Lane, that sort of, been in Washington, knows his way around. Also, given both are Mobile guys, that's a natural fit. But you would know this just as well as I would. I don't think you're going to see a Bradley Byrne endorsement of Jeff Sessions anytime soon. I would doubt you would see it with Tommy Tuberville, unless, I was talking to Sean Ross, my colleague at Yale Ever News, about that this morning. Bradley Byrne's going to be looking for a job soon. He seems like the kind of guy that would be great for some kind of position in a Trump administration. You know, what it depends on how much Trump wanted to get involved in the Senate race, but might a deal be struck there to get Bradley to go over with Tuberville? I mean, it doesn't right now, that doesn't seem very likely, but I think the one thing we know about Bradley Byrne, he did kind of prove himself to be a Trump loyalist throughout these last few months. Might that make him a possibility? You know, because we're already talking about John Ratcliffe from Texas being his D&I. Maybe there's a position for him, because Bradley has a certain skill set. He was chairman of the Rules Committee. He stormed a skiff. He knows the congressional ins and outs. I think that's something to kind of watch.
All right, coming right back. More with Jeff Poore right here on Mobile Mornings. Hey, thanks, Kane. 824 FM Talk 106.5 at Mobile Mornings. Get right back into our conversation with Jeff Poore about yesterday's Super Tuesday and the Analysis Wednesday going on right now. Let's talk about outside of our neck of the woods. Walk us through where you are up at AL5. There, Mo Brooks did have a challenger, didn't he?
He had a challenger, and you know, something that really happened that was strange late in this race last week. Mac McCutcheon, Speaker of the Alabama House of Representatives, endorsed Mo Brooks, who's the sitting incumbent's opponent. And think about this for a minute. You know, Mo Brooks, not really any kind of serious threat to lose, has a real connection with the voters in the 5th Congressional District, I think on a number of levels. You know, there's that personal connection. It's almost Trump-like with the voters here. He's not a guy that's going to sell out or anything like that. And that's how he gets reelected over and over again. Well, late in the game, early in the game, Alpha endorses this guy Chris Lewis is challenging Mo Brooks. There's some other trade, the home builders, I think maybe one other. And then the Speaker of the House, and everybody's like, well, what's going on there? And it seemed like maybe they were trying to soften up Mo Brooks. He wasn't going to lose this cycle, but maybe the next cycle. And my thinking was, well, Carson Brooks needs to win by 20, 25 points to kind of make sure this doesn't become a thing. Mo Brooks wins by almost 50 points. Wow. And he is not in trouble anytime soon. It's absurd to think that anybody could come up into the 5th Congressional District and run against him, even with all the money in the world. You don't win 50 points elections by accident. He is very popular here. I think that's a message to the business community, to the farmers, that you're going to have to come up with something better to unseat Mo Brooks.
All right, let's take it to AL2 and talk to us about what, you know, Coleman had a big lead at one point last night, then the precinct started coming in. Where did it end up?
It ended up, it hasn't officially been called, but it looks like former Representative Barry Moore of Enterprise is going to get into that runoff race against Jeff Coleman. Remember, Jeff Coleman spent big. Jeff Coleman has a lot of money. Jeff Coleman could not get to 50%. His numbers kind of, they built up a big lead, and they started to recede. There was a controversy involving one of his past business practices. He owns a movie company, and what he was doing, he was overcharging to move military personnel overseas. Well, as it turns out, he settled with the Department of Defense, or settled with the federal government, I should say, and paid like $3 or $5 million. But anyway, that was used against him. That hurt his numbers a bunch, and it kind of left this free for all, trying to see who would get in that runoff. Well, what you had former Attorney General Troy King, who people thought very early on was the favorite to win that seat. He did not have much of a showing last night.
Nope.
It came down to Jessica Taylor, who she had made a big splash with her first ad. Remember the basketball ad?
Mm-hmm.
Played it on the state championship team at Weaver High School. Married to former state senator Brian Taylor from Watauga County. Looked like she has a chance. It was between her and Barry Moore. One thing I will say about Barry Moore, if you were at that rally in 2015 for Donald Trump, Barry Moore was one of the first, or maybe the first, guy on stage to come up, elected official then, and endorse President, or then candidate Trump, yeah, at that Mobile rally. And that was a big deal, and I don't know that made a difference in this race. Well, I think they did in this AL2 race. They were really able to rally and build the votes in Coffee County, get Enterprise. Enterprise is not a small place, and that's probably the third biggest city in AL2. Are the fourth biggest city, and they were able to build that, and all those votes worked in their advantage. So I think you're going to see a Jeff Coleman Barry Moore runoff on March 31st in the 2nd Congressional District.
Yeah, but if you'd asked people weeks ago, yeah, that it seemed like, oh, the conservative squad and Jessica Taylor and darling of Fox News, she was going to be the other person in, but obviously not.
No, and, you know, that you gotta win it at home. I don't think you can win it on Fox News, personally.
I love that. That's the takeaway blurb quote of the day, because I agree with you, but I am inundated by people that are higher up the food chain than I in this world that tell me, oh, well, you know, you get on Fox News and then that's all it takes. And I said, man, I've disagreed with that in the past. I mean, you look at Alabama, we do things our own way.
Yeah, and that's kind of, I mean, there's something to be said good about getting on Fox News. There are people in this state that don't really get engaged with the local politics and watch nothing but Fox News. Listen to Tucker Carlson, Sean Hannity, Larry Ingram, etc., but don't really pay attention, don't know who their congressman is, but sure can tell you all about the Russian conspiracy collusion theory, right?
Preach.
There's a lot of that. There's a lot of that in our politics. So getting on Fox News, I mean, it's just a reality. Getting on Fox News is good in some ways, but I don't think you could just win it on that alone.
All right, Jeff, as always, man, a pleasure. Thank you for the update, and we'll check back with you real soon.
All right, hey, Sean, thanks for having me on.
Here he is, Jeff Poore. And we're coming right back. We'll take your calls and text at 343-0106, 343-0106. A lot of text in about how people voted yesterday in the primary and how they may vote in the runoff. We'll get into that. And by the way, heads up, Jerry Carl will be on with us at noon today on Midday Mobile.
FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings, and continuing Super Tuesday talk in just a minute. But first, it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk to Louis Arata. Hey, Louis.
Good morning, everybody. Good rainy morning, I should say.
Yeah, so it's looking like a rainy Wednesday, and of course, if there's a break in the rain, I recommend you get out to McConnell Automotive on site. But if you can't do that, the online website, the website is great in itself, McConnellAutomotive.com. Tell us about that.
It sure is. I mean, you can just, I mean, you can put your credit app in there. It goes straight to Gene or I. You're looking at a car. I think it's even got a payment calculator. You know, we talk about these rainy days. Don't forget, we got a full-service body shop. Gary Turner and the guys in the back, man, they're just awesome. They'll take care of your insurance needs if you had that awful fender bender. And don't forget, we buy cars.
Mm-hmm.
I'll buy, I mean, we'll buy anything. Just give Gene or I a call and give us the VIN and the miles, and we'll check it out and give you a price right on the phone.
And do you still have any of those Mardi Gras trucks available?
Oh, yeah, we got a few more left, and they're going, though. We're selling them, which is a great thing. And the problem is the lot's looking bare, so if y'all want the deal on the Mardi Gras truck, you better come on down, or like I said, just give us a call or search the website. They're on the website. And like I said, just give me a call, 251-476-4141.
All right. We appreciate it, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louis Arata. You'll find him and the crew at McConnell Automotive on Dauphin Street, just east of I-65.
Right, 838 FM Talk 106.5, phone number 343-0106. A lot of great texts coming in last night and this morning about our coverage. I found this, and also found this heartwarming text. You know how I am. It's the prodigal son thing, right? A lot of nice, and thank you for the nice text. Then there's this one. The voting looks different down here. You know, I was noting the difference between the Tuberville vote and the Sessions vote, looking down here in Mobile and Baldwin counties compared to the rest of the state. So unnamed texter says here, the voting looks different down here because the Catholic always get behind who they are told and vote blindly. Okay, this person knows some things with certainty. Thank God there was more people in the state to stop Pringle and his shenanigans than just 08. I live in, he says leave, but I think he means probably voice text. I live in 08, and I'm so happy Archbishop didn't get to pick our candidate. Oh, live. Okay, live in 08. So like a Catholic in 08. Oh, wait a second, unnamed texter. So we're a Catholic family, and we live in 08.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't.
So this is about you, this text.
Yeah, it's pretty much. People think they'll send text in. It's good to know that the bias against
the damn Irish papist is still in place, right? You know, I mean, you look at the one of the lesser known groups that was attacked by the Klan, the old Irish papist. We get some of that. And I don't take my voting orders from anyone.
You didn't vote for who you were. Were you even told who to vote for?
Negative. Was not. So as an 08 Catholic family, we still make our own decision. So
good to hear.
But it's good to know that the anger towards the dirty Irish that need not apply is still there.
Use it for motivation.
I have a sign in my house that Irish need not apply. Look at it every day. All right. George says Ivy made it not work because who would want appointees from Poison Ivy? Yeah, well, it's the question here is, was that all about Ivy, George? I mean, because I'm with you, but was it all about Ivy, or was it about just that people said, no, I want to continue to vote for my state board of education member? Which, let me put the other side of that sword, is yes, I agree with y'all, and I was against Amendment 1. At the same time, we better get on our P's and Q's on paying attention to State Board of Education and holding it accountable. You know, you can only do your district, but holding them accountable for if schools don't improve, or if they tell you they're going to do something to improve schools and they don't, hold them accountable.
So we got over 1 million votes in that race, in that Amendment 1 vote, and 75% went towards no. I'm interested to know how many people knew about this amendment, what it actually stood for. Like, how many people in Alabama, their instinct is to just circle in no if they don't really know what's going on the ballot. But more importantly, I think that the camp that wanted the no vote to win in this Amendment 1 did a much better job of getting out and telling people why they should vote no on this than the governor did and everyone who wanted the yes vote to go through. I think the campaign for the no vote went much better than yes vote.
They got started earlier, and it was definitely more grassroots of an effort. I know that when the yes push came through, it was coming through people like the Alabama Policy Institute, and not to be derogatory towards API, they truly believed it, but they ramped up very late, and you could see the similarities in what they were saying, and like my buddy Todd Stacey. I mean, he was admitted that he was talking about what BCA, what the business community wanted as well. I can see why they wanted that, but they got in late, and they didn't, I think, obviously make a case to the Alabama voters why Amendment 1 should be on the ballot. So no, it was a no. It was an overwhelming no.
Yeah,
on that as well.
One of the biggest landslides of the night. I also thought it was interesting federally, and looking at some of these national races, that Joe Biden was the first race called in Alabama. He pretty easily won the Democrat vote for president in Alabama. They called that with 1% of the vote in.
They
called that even before they called that Trump won the Republican primary in Alabama. So I thought that was interesting last night as well. But looking at the total votes for president, Trump ended up with 708,883 votes in Alabama.
Cha-ching.
You add up all the Democrat votes in the primary for president, 445,000. So Trump nearly doubled the entire Democrat haul last night.
All right. This text says, agreed, there was no push for yes on Amendment 1. Nobody that I talked to knew what it was, other than we need to keep our right to vote, even though those same people don't pay attention to school board elections anyway. I got to agree with this person. That's the problem. I can't be. I was a no vote, but I still have to be honest. And with that no vote, I'm going to have to continue to chastise we, the people of Alabama, for not. This is our mechanism to try to improve overall education in the state of Alabama. That's our mechanism. Pay attention to it. Mm-hmm. You know, as we've talked about in the past, it doesn't mean don't watch Fox News and all that, but my gosh, people know more about some government intrigue in Washington and some nuance of a representative from another state than they know about things. It doesn't mean you don't get to talk about the stuff. I think that's fine. But as you climb that ladder, make sure you have your ducks in a row back home. You can still pay attention to that stuff, but it's because of the dramatization. And listen, there's a lot of people in this business, what we do, that build on this, creating this. It's a drama. It's not even about facts or policies. It's a it's a cult of personality, assassination of a cult of personality. It is a discussion of he said, he said, soap opera kind of stuff versus talking about policy. And that is what ends up getting people's attention. And they gloss over the things that aren't, you know, that don't have drama around them.
Yeah, and those,
although they should.
Those votes are way more important than some of the other votes you'll find, but you're right, they're just not sexy at all, voting for who's on the school board. And the problem, I think, is that your average voter doesn't have that much time or interest in that kind of... And I think no matter how many people...
But if you get mad about the schools stinking...
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say the other word, but I'll get chastised. Stinking. If you get mad about that, then your mechanism, one of your mechanisms, is State Board of Education.
Mm-hmm.
So don't sit and complain about the schools, which I think is fair, and then don't get involved in trying to make a change.
I just think no matter how many people do take your word for that and start working harder at knowing the candidates, they'll be overwhelmed by the number of people voting.
You're right.
That have no idea and are just going to fill in a bubble.
You're right. It's like when people text us here, tell everybody to turn their headlights on, it's raining, or something like that. I said, it's not this audience.
Right.
It's not this audience that needs to know that. You might want to tell them to tell their kinfolk to do that. All right. Grab a couple calls here, and we've got the news break coming up. Let me go quickly to Chris before the news break. Chris in Mobile talking Amendment 1. Hey, Chris.
Hey, good morning. I just don't trust the KIV group up there.
Yeah.
For the simple fact that they tried to shove the toll down our throats, okay?
Yeah.
And you know there's people getting kickbacks. What I think they got in plan is they want to control to set up the power of their own people for the school board. Then that's when they're going to turn around and vote for the lottery tax. And then they got control of all the money anyway.
The lottery tax or lottery? Future. When you say lottery tax, you mean the lottery?
Yes.
Okay.
I think they're going to use that money how they want to use it after they got control of the school board. You know, I mean, I'm just throwing... There's nothing that surprises me anymore with politics nowadays. But that's just my little crazy theory. Who knows? It might be something totally off the train, but... Anyway, that's what I was thinking. I just think they want control of the school board situation. That way, if we ever do get the lottery tax, then they can control the money and do what they want to do with.
Chris, so. I appreciate the call. We'll open up a line at 343-0106. Quick heads up, too, the maids. Today's our day for the maids coming to the Sullivan House. Very exciting, and it's always so nice to come in after the maids have been in our home. Smells fresh, looks great, it's clean, and we have that time back in our schedule. The time we spent in the past mopping and sweeping and vacuuming and dusting and all that is back for hauling more hauls of children to activities, which seems to dominate our life in our house. The kids are constantly doing something. Also, more time for you to enjoy your hobbies, enjoy your family, your friends. Give yourself the gift of clean, at the same time, the gift of time with the maids. And they're giving you a free estimate right now. The folks that work on my house can do this for you. 344-6626. Call the maids, 344-6626. They'll come to your place. They'll check it out. They'll give you a quote, and you can see why I've been referring you to the maids all this time. Actually, the maids did some focus group testing here and found that 96% of the people who use the maids would refer them to friends and family. It's the maids. Once again, referred for a reason, and their phone number for a free estimate, 344-6626, 344-6626. You can also Google the maids, Mobile and Baldwin County, and get that contact. But get them to come to your, maybe it's once a week, maybe it's three times a week, maybe it's once a month. Maybe you're getting a home ready for a special event. Get the maids on your side right now with that free estimate, 344-6626. All right, coming right back. Grab some more phone calls here as we... We've got another segment. Yeah, we've got a segment to run through some numbers. And by the way, too, Midday Mobile coming up at noon today. One of the people in the runoff for AL1 in the Republican primary, Mobile County Commissioner Jerry Carl, joins me at noon. Hey, thank you, Kane. 852 FM Talk 106.5. This segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. That's my buddy Trey Bennett working in Mobile County, Baldwin County. 11 years now of getting junk gone from your home, from your office, from a storage unit you long since needed to clean out, maybe a house you're getting ready to sell. You got junk outside your house. You got a storage shed full of stuff you don't want. Maybe you want the whole storage shed gone. They can handle that, too. Maybe you've got a fully functioning swing set or non-functioning swing set in the backyard, and your youngest child is in their 30s. I'm not trying to make an intervention here, but it's time to get rid of the junk. You can do that with 1-800-GOT-JUNK by going online to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com or picking up the phone and calling 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Check them out. Get Trey and the crew to come to your place today and get rid of the junk. Which, by the way, 1-800-GOT-JUNK online opinion poll question. Who are you more likely to vote for in the runoff for AL1 in the GOP primary, Jerry Carl or Bill Hightower? We're tallying your votes on the front page of FMTalk1065.com. You'll see the link on the, or you see the poll question on the right there. Just click that and go to town and vote. Again, I know it's a lot. We asked you to vote yesterday. We're asking you to vote again today, but this is your first chance to vote in that AL1 Republican primary runoff.
Yeah, and you can even vote in our poll if you have an expired driver's license.
That's true. We don't require any ID.
No, none at all.
All right. To the phones and Fireball and Mobile up first. Hey, Fireball.
Hey, Sean. How are you doing today?
Man, I'm swell. How about yourself?
Ain't nothing to it. Just like my paycheck.
Right. So what you got?
Well, Sean, I'm 66 years old.
Okay.
I can't get these young people. They think that their vote don't count, that it's useless for them to vote. I can't get it through their head that their vote does count. And just like people was complaining about some things that's going on, and I said, well, you can't change it unless you get out and vote.
Right.
But 90% of the politicians that's in Washington right now don't have a clue what the American citizen wants.
90%?
90%.
So only 1 in 10 does.
Right. Well, how many people would vote to abort a baby before it's even, when it's right time for it to be born? How many people would, in their right mind, vote for that? Nobody. I can't say anybody, but it just bothers me. And I can't understand why a Democrat that calls themselves a Christian would vote Democrat when the Democrat is the one to put that in place.
There you go. Fireball, appreciate the call.
Yeah, and I'd say probably, you know, if they held a nationwide election on that, 30 to 40% would vote on that side for the abortion.
The late term?
Maybe not late term. Okay, things would change there. And regarding the young people, I mean, that's young people. That's what they've been doing forever, not voting. There's a lot of young right. people that do go out and vote, but listen, when you're a young adult, life can be a lot. And when you have to
life
register.
Life can be a lot. Is that a T-shirt? Man?
I just think, you know, there's young people, voting is not the highest thing on their priority list. And when you have to register ahead of time, figure out where your polling place is, I know it's easy for us.
Oh, my God, really?
It's easy for us. I don't think it's easy for young people. I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying.
You are making excuses.
I'm saying
that is
what
the biggest bunch of poppycock. I mean, it's not like it's hidden cryptically how you do it and get registered to vote.
Listen, I've voted ever since I was eligible to vote.
Well, I know, but you're high graded. You know, you're kind of a high graded individual. But you're saying back in my day, it was the MTV, you know, get out the vote thing and all that. I guess they're still doing that.
They did Rock the Vote.
Rock the Vote. That was it. Yeah.
But and
get out the vote. Shows you I'm an old man.
I'm telling you, these kids they're going to college. They're partying all the time. They just don't have the time to get registered to get out to vote.
I did the same thing. I was no angel, but I still voted.
Yeah.
I mean, I might have voted, and then we'd had a kegger afterwards, but I voted.
Well, it hurt Bernie the most.
That's right. All right. Let me do this. As we go to grab a phone call here, let's open up three lines at 343-0106, because I'm looking for caller number 3 right now. For Win 'Em Before You Can Buy 'Em, Jake Owen tickets, that show coming up on March 15th, the Ides of March, that show coming to the Sanger Theater. Tickets go on sale Friday at the Sanger Theater, but Jake Owen coming on a Sunday, the Ides of March, and coming right here to the Sanger Theater in Mobile. All right. Y'all say hello to my buddy Walt in Somerdale. Hey, Walt.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. And by the way, Dalton, when I was the day before I turned 18, I couldn't wait to go register to vote.
I was the same, so I could come home and tell my parents what I did, and then they'd say, "You're a dummy."
Yeah. Yeah.
I just think it's different now.
As far as the Senate and AO1, it didn't help Bradley Byrne when Jeff Sessions jumped in at the last minute.
That's for sure.
But on the other hand, I was not in the Byrne camp to start with.
Okay.
He barely beat Pete Green in the special election when Bonner quit. I mean, he barely beat Pete Green. And had Bradley stayed in his seat in AO1, there wouldn't have been anybody run against him just like 2 years ago.
That's right.
And he'd have still been there. But what Jeff Sessions, I mean, the whole legality, if Jeff Sessions did what he was supposed to do as far as being legal, I can understand that, but people in Alabama, understand it or not, they're not going to vote for him. And I think Bradley's people are going to vote for Tubbs. And I think Jeff is done in the Senate.
There we go. Appreciate the call. Thank you. And we'll be back at noon today. Have a great one.